Friends, it is so good to be with you. And again, happy Mother's Day. What a wonderful time for us as a church. And it really is kind of fun as a community to celebrate. What does it mean for us to really lean in and pay attention and try and recognize those who have nurtured us, those who have provided for us this safe environment to grow? And so much of that work is unseen. And so on these days, it is really, really special for us to be able to just take a moment and celebrate. And for the children, right, if you're going, well, what is my day? When's my day going to come? Your day is every day. Your day is every other day. It's 364 other days. We celebrate you, and we love celebrating you and nurturing you and providing for you. Friends, we are wrapping up our series of sermons where we're going through the book of 1 John, where the Apostle John, later in his life, is telling us about these big themes of our life and our faith life in Christ. And today, it's very helpful. He's going to tell us, dear readers, exactly why he's writing. It's actually very thoughtful of him to kind of wrap things up, especially since it's so hard. It's such a big commitment, really, to write something down in the first century. And so he wants to let us know, this is exactly why I'm writing. In chapter 5, verse 13, this is what the Apostle John says. He says, I write these things to you who believe, right? So this is us, in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, John uses this phrase, eternal life, several times in his letter and also in his gospel. And the phrase eternal life is perhaps one of the most misunderstood phrases in the Christian tradition because we actually misunderstand both of the words. And then we recombine them to sort of mean something that's different. When we think about eternal life, typically, what do we think of? Heaven. Heaven, right? So we say heaven, eternal life is heaven. And that's true, and it's just true enough that it's unhelpful. Eternal life is heaven. But the problem was that is we understand heaven to be something that we get after we have died, which means it's something that's related to time. So we're born, right? We're born, we play youth soccer. We score a goal for the other team on accident, right? We graduate from high school, you know, other things. We celebrate Mother's Day, right? And then we die. That's the whole span of life right there, I think. Right? And then after that, over by John, eternal life begins. And so if I were to ask you then, how does the assurance of eternal life to those who believe in Jesus impact your outlook on today? The answer is likely to be something like, not very much. It's sort of like a cruise that we're looking forward to later in the summer. It's going to help us get through the difficult season now, but really that's something that's going to happen much later, right? Now there's a shred of truth in that. Of course. And our faith, different parts of our faith, do give us hope in difficult circumstances. But that understanding of eternal life is not consistent with how John and Jesus talk about eternal life. Remember, John writes to those who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. So you have this already. In fact, at the beginning of this very letter, in the first sentence, John writes about this life, and he says that the life was made manifest. And he says, we have seen this life, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. In other words, there were things that Jesus came to do. Heal the sick, proclaim the kingdom of God, forgive sins, right? Institute the sacraments, die for the sins of the world. And while he did all of those things, he was also revealing something. He was revealing a container of sorts. He was revealing the sky that is perhaps behind the clouds, something that is not confined by linear time, something that is outside of the whole time system. Right? So it is as present now as it was then, as it will be tomorrow, something eternal. Right? Now, this word eternal is usually accompanied by another word that we get wrong. It's called life. And for us, the word life, in our language, the word life is kind of describing all of the stuff that happens between being born and dying in this world. When you're born, your life begins, and when you die, your life ends, and life sort of exists in this time and space in between. It's always moving, it's always changing. When someone says, I have a great life, or when someone says, I hate my life, they're probably referring to, I gotta be very careful what I say next. They're probably referring to the things of their life, their house, their job, maybe their children, maybe their marriage. I have a great marriage, so I have a great life, right? But by its nature, it has a beginning and it has an end, and in the middle, it's always sort of changing, just by its nature. In the Greek language, there's actually some very helpful framing. There's a word for this type of life that I'm describing here. It's the word psyche. Everything in your life that happens to you, that you do, is part of your psyche life. Right? And if we aren't careful when we read the scriptures, we misunderstand what it is that Jesus is actually revealing to us. And we think that the Spirit is pointing us toward essentially a good life, a good psyche in between when we are born and when we die. And that good life sort of lasts forever, just kind of keeps going day after day, week after week. And if you heard something like this when you were a child, it was probably in reference to like worship, right? We're going to be worshiping God sort of forever. And depending on which church you grew up in, that could sound like a really boring thing to kind of be in church forever. And you're like, did we bring a change of clothes? Are there donuts? What's happening here? Like how far, you know, I got a soccer game tomorrow. But we all have our ideas of what the good life actually is. Every culture, every family have their own traditions, have their own ideas of the good life, and they're different from each other. I was talking to a friend who's reading a book called The Book of Charlie. It's a biography of a man who lived to be 108 years old. Is that a good life? Right? And because Jesus taught about a good life that's centered around self-denial and love of God and love of neighbor, right? It's natural for folks to hear the phrase eternal life and sort of substitute in the phrase the good life. Jesus came to give humanity the good life that essentially lasts forever. And the problem with that is that so do the claims of the Stoics, so do the claims of Buddha. They all promise a good life. And so now we end up arguing with each other and with our friends about which way of living in between birth and death is essentially the good life. But it's essentially subjective. It's a subjective argument. What you think is a good life might be different than what I think is a good life. Physical, spiritual health, brain capacity, muscle density. These are all great things, things that Jesus will absolutely help us with. But it doesn't track with Jesus's essential teaching to say that he has come to give us a good life in this world. He actually says in a few places the exact opposite, that in this world you will have struggle. Everybody says, don't worry, I have overcome this world. See, what John and others want us to understand, to see, is that there's something unique about the life that Jesus revealed. It's different than the psyche life that we know. And so they used a different Greek word to describe it. Not psyche, but a new word, zoe. This zoe life is something that can be experienced by faith in Jesus Christ. It has no beginning, and it has no end. It simply is. And it always has been, and it always will be. It has a sort of permanence to it. It's operating at the same time as this psyche life. And most of the time, we are completely asleep to it. We only see the psyche, and we become very enamored with the psyche life, trying to arrange things just perfectly to live the good life. Now, this is not an easy distinction to make, and we've gone through some things pretty quickly. So I want to try and clarify this with an image. And since it's Mother's Day, I'm going to use an image that is very familiar. The clicker isn't working right now. Would you click ahead to the slide where the mother is holding hands? There we go. That's so good. Okay. We see this sort of image all the time, right? Not this particular picture, but around town, walking across parking lots, right? In supermarkets, here at church, right? Holding hands. I was just at the Glenwood Gardens. It's down in Cincinnati. It's this beautiful place. If you've never been, I don't know if today's the day, but go sometimes. Beautiful. And as a matter of fact, on their website, when I Googled their website to get the address, the very first image that's on their website is of a child holding the hands of both grandparents as she walks into the playground area, which is like this magical wonderland place, right? But they don't stay holding hands, do they, when they go into the park? They hold hands when they walk across the street. They hold hands when they get closer. But as soon as they start to see all the stuff, right, what do? They just start running. It's like they're allergic to us. Right? But at a certain point, and every mother especially knows this look, right? Good fathers know this look as well. They start to become overwhelmed. Things are even a little bit scary for them. Sometimes it's a lot scary. There's this sort of look that comes across a child's face when they're uncomfortable or when they're scared and things have gone horribly wrong. Do you know this look? Yeah. And what will often happen right before we get to that full-blown tear breakdown place is that mom will call the child's name, right? And put her hand out. It's okay. Right? And the kid just changes, beelines for that bigger hand and grabs it. Right? And then from there, the child continues to play and enjoy the playground. After all, the playground was created to be enjoyed. The playground hasn't changed at all. But holding the hand of a trusted adult changes a child's relationship to it. Right? If a child doesn't know the security of having a hold of a bigger hand, then that playground becomes terrifying. And this is life, the psyche life. The things of this world are like that playground. Many of them are created for our enjoyment, but at times this life can become a very terrifying place. Too much chaos, too much complexity, too many people. It's not malicious, but it can be really dangerous, especially when we aren't in control of the vast majority of the things in this life. But there is something that we can do. We can hold on to a bigger hand. And that does not change the world, but it changes our relationship to it. That's Zoe life, and that's available to us right now. It's available to us all the time. If we decide to attach ourselves and our joy and our happiness to the things that we already know are changing and passing away, then that is going to be our fate as well. But Jesus has revealed, and the Apostle John is testifying to this different kind of life that attaches itself to us by faith. Something that never changes, that has never changed, that will never change. It is immovable, it is indestructible, and Jesus came to give it to you. It's called eternal life. And so, how does the assurance of eternal life to those who believe in Jesus impact your outlook on today? The word that John uses is confidence. We have confidence. He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And I don't know, as you think about your own life, you know, what you are drawn towards right now. Could be a relationship, maybe it's an illness. Maybe you're someone who has recently experienced loss, maybe facing something terminal. Maybe this is a troubling season. Whatever the thing is in your life right now, right, while your eyes are on it, his eyes are on you. He never lets you out of his sight. He knows exactly where you are. And if you need his hand to hold, it's there for you. It's nowhere near as far away as you might think. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to give us this gift of eternal life and to reveal it so clearly in the person of your Son, Jesus. Father, by your Holy Spirit, give us a faith that clings tightly to him, that trusts in him above all things, no matter how violent or stormy the clouds may be. Help us to see the bigger sky that is behind them, this eternal life that you give us in his name. Hold our hand tightly and change our relationship to this life today. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen.